This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another edition of Nation Talk Radio. Today, we're actually being joined by Dr. John Pavlovich. Dr. Pavlovich is actually based out of Vancouver, British Columbia, and serves as a primary care physician for remote reserves, such as Paqua Landing, to be specific, and also using TELUS-powered technology called telehealth to bring these services to the more rural communities. He also does great work with Carrier Sicani in BC. Some of our listeners as well may have seen the video featuring Dr. Pavlovich recently on our website, but for those who have the pleasure of catching this online, we will make sure to include a link to both the video and also more information below. But now let's get into this, and thank you for joining us today, Dr. Pavlovich.
Thank you so much, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. So, you know, we can just get right into it. I know it's more of your bread and butter. Maybe you can explain to our listeners who may not be familiar yet, though, what exactly is telehealth and how does it exactly work?
Well, telehealth really is a constellation of different bits of technology that allow a healthcare provider to augment their services to the people they are trying to provide service to. So in other words, we complement a more conventional way of seeing patients, that is face-to-face. That's generally the way most healthcare providers, certainly physicians, have engaged in patient care over the decades. When you bring in telehealth, we start to use technology to transcend distance and allow the connections between the healthcare providers and the patients to occur in ways that are novel. There are ways that really preclude the need for patients to travel into health centers, into doctor's offices, and so forth. So whether that's connecting with a patient in a remote healthcare center on reserve, or whether that's connecting with patients in their own private home, or on a mobile device, wherever they happen to be, telehealth starts to incorporate all those different abilities into one. So it's not necessary now for patients to just get their healthcare in a face-to-face manner. The telehealth, which utilizes video conferencing and iPads and iPhones and laptop computers and remote sensors and other mobile devices, it really incorporates all those things and allows patients to connect and providers to connect to each other. And really for remote First Nations communities, it's been a real game changer in allowing us to reach out and create access for patients where there never was access or very limited access in the past.
Wonderful. That brings me to my next point as well. Of course, this technology is going to obviously affect your ability to be an effective primary care physician, but you mentioned it as more of a complementary tool. Maybe you can explain to the listeners how this, again, technology has personally affected your ability in the primary care field in healthcare.
Absolutely. It really has changed the ability for me to provide that longitudinal, consistent care that's been lacking, certainly for the work we do in the remote communities that have small healthcare centers and serve the population of the reserves that we go to. You know, the historical model of providing service there was for a doctor to fly in or fly out, drive in, drive out, boat in, boat out. And then there were large gaps of time when the physician wasn't in the community, and really we couldn't provide much of a service other than some clunky service over a phone, and it's very fragmented and reactionary, and it really didn't provide any of that continuity, which is so important in primary care. So what telehealth now does is it supports the ongoing relationships that are established by on-the-ground services that we provide monthly, and then when we're not in the community, we're still able to connect with the community health centers, the patients, and continue on managing and following up patients. And probably most importantly, we continue on the relationship building exercise, if you will, by the continued connectedness of us all. And that's been a really pleasant journey as we've moved forward over the last couple of years to see how normalized the behavior has become for all the players, myself included, the nurses, in the remote health centers, the patients in the communities. It's really just become an extension of healthcare services to the point now where I think people are starting to forget about it being anything special. It's just something that we do, and patients know that they can connect with a physician, they can connect with a nurse practitioner. I guess the other really important piece of this whole conversation is that this is by no means a physician-centric type of service. Rather, this is the telehealth supports a whole network of healthcare providers that are trying to stay in sync and work collaboratively to better provide service to all these remote sites. And I'm just one of the cogs in the wheel. But I hope I've explained that so people can somehow visualize what it is we're doing.
So before we go on, maybe you can let our listeners know a little bit more, Dr. Pavlovich, about the organizations that you've specifically worked with through your own experiences in telehealth.
The first and foremost, Carrie Sicani Family Services in North Central BC is the original agency or group of people that I connected with, and we formed an alliance and a working relationship that's been just simply wonderful. And they've allowed the growth of our telehealth program within the context of a primary care model to really they planted the seed and allowed this plan to blossom, if you will. And the other providers that have helped fertilize this virtual program, you know, we've connected with the TELUS people in British Columbia. We've connected with Cisco Systems, who have been incredibly generous in supporting some of the work and really allowing us to pioneer some of the telehealth systems in remote communities such as Tackle Landing. Arguably, we probably have the most sophisticated telehealth system in one of the most remote settings in British Columbia, which is extremely exciting and really wouldn't have been possible without some of these other contributions by these players. So I think the kind of collaboration between Carrie Sicani Family Services, between Health Canada, the First Nations Health Authority, Northern Health in British Columbia, TELUS, Cisco, you know, there are a lot of different groups and agencies that have, and most importantly, the communities themselves, all these players, and it can look a bit complicated on the exterior of how this successful model has come to be. But truthfully, the contributions by all these different groups are, you know, that everyone has had a key ingredient in the successful model that evolved. So, yeah, I can't say enough about how generous people have been in supporting our work. And we've also had other players on the side, companies such as GEDMED and companies such as Ultrasonics. These are ultrasound companies. There are a lot of different companies who have been very generous in letting us pilot some of their equipment on top of our telehealth units to see how we can bring special exam cameras in, stethoscopes and so forth, to augment the care that is provided through telehealth. So it's been a wonderful journey, and again, a lot of different groups of people have been responsible for its success.
Well, it's great to hear when you mention organizations like TELUS, Cisco, and of course, you know, First Nations Health Authority is doing great work taking over from the National Aboriginal Health Organization, specifically in the BC region. Sounds like a strong group of companies, strong group of leaders, and it seems that you're getting nothing but strong results. So again, thank you very much for taking the time, Dr. Pavlovich. And that brings me to my next point, because one thing I want to touch upon a little bit is the mentioning of the time in between actual physical visits. It seems that this telehealth technology is able to fill in the gaps. But also one thing I want to touch upon too is it seems that for those individuals that may have been deterred by visiting with doctors and, you know, health centers, of course, it seems that telehealth provides them kind of a foot-in-the-door option as well, too, instead of having to physically meet. So it seems that, you know, not only are you filling in the gaps, but again, you're providing those people who may be a bit hesitant with another tool for healthcare.
No question about it. So there are different reasons why people would prefer to connect over telehealth. It's not just because they can't physically get to another physical site and see a doctor face-to-face. Sometimes we get tripped up in my profession thinking that the historical way of doing things is the gold standard. And talking to a lot of my colleagues, it's interesting listening to people have ideas about telehealth, still kind of comparing it to the, quote, gold standard of face-to-face visits. And I would argue that that kind of thinking will change in the future as people incorporate telehealth and start to understand what it's really capable of and, you know, how can it complement practice for the betterment and ease and efficiencies and all the other positive attributes that will come along with it. You know, I think patients have taught us with our limited experience that there are times when telehealth is just a preferable thing for the patient. It's a less threatening environment. It's a better match for the patient in the moment when the patient is trying to reach out and access help. They feel less threatened by it. So These are things that I've learned, not things that I knew going into this whole experience. And I think my colleagues will share the same kind of learning curve with telehealth and start to understand that it's really not a second-rate service in any way. When it's done properly, it's preferable, and its quality, we'll find out how it matches up to face-to-face visits. But it's meant to be a complementary tool, not an instead-of type of tool. And when it's seen that way, it certainly, as you alluded to in the original question, it gives people the choice of what matches their needs better. And that's a dynamic question. It's not one that patients ask themselves once. It's, today when I need to see the doctor, do I really need to, travel a distance to go see somebody? Or is this something that I could, take care of over a digital connection? So I think when we start to look at it in that way, we'll start to understand how powerful it really is.
Well, there you go, listeners. Again, if you are catching this online, make sure to check out more information below. And other than that, thank you so much, Dr. Pavlovich and Jimmy Gwetch, listeners.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.